Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. It's Monday. We're talking NASCAR. Got Rod Mullins here on the show with us, and we're going to break down the Circuit of the Americas race, the first road race of the 2024 season. And Rod, yeah, we joked before, right before we hit record, road race or road rage, as the case may be. What was going on yesterday?
Well, I think the best way to sum it up about road rage or road race yesterday, let me get that straight first. The road race thing was primarily William Byron's domination. He didn't exactly race the best 10 laps or so of the race, but he still managed to put Chevy out in front. And, you know, Chevy and Toyota was kind of at the lead of the pack yesterday at the road race. And Hendrick always produces some good road racing cars, but Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, kind of got Toyota in there as well. And the thing about it, Ford only had one car in the top 10, and that was Chris Buescher coming in eighth place. So at this first test of the road race circuit, at least before they go to Sonoma, it's come out now that the Chevrolets and the Toyotas are tough to beat. And, you know, this kind of breaks the string of the Toyota wins here in the last couple of weeks. You had Denny Hamlin win at Bristol here last week, and then you have Chevrolet jumping back into the fray again, and they've jumped back into the lead, if you want to call it that, with Byron, of course, taking the Daytona 500. It's just been an interesting season so far, and this was an interesting race. And it seemed like most of the fireworks, there were fireworks on the track, yes, but most of the fireworks, a lot of them happened on the radio or at the end of the race more than anything else.
I'm looking at the stats here. Only seven drivers led at least one lap.
Right.
So not quite like what we've seen the last few weeks. Last week when you were in Bristol, 54 lead changes, for example. Mm-hmm. But it still got interesting down the stretch. Byron had a big lead on Christopher Bell, with 15, 20 laps to go.
Right.
But Bell really narrowed the gap there at the end.
Yes, he did. He narrowed the gap quite a bit. It just goes to show you what kind of racer he is. You know, he won at Bristol. I mean, he won at Bristol last year, but, you know, this was a short track package that they brought with them to Circuit of the Americas. And he just, you know, started driving the heck out of that thing. Unfortunately, though, for Kyle Busch gets turned around thanks to what he deemed to be a video game move by Christopher Bell. And they had some words at the end of the race yesterday. Christopher Bell kind of looked like the little whipping boy or the whipped boy that was kind of standing there by the there as they had the cameras in on him. Let's just put it this way. Christopher Bell told Fox Sports yesterday, he said, I mean, I know he's obviously very upset, which, you know, he ended up turned around. He said, I'm sorry to Kyle in the five car, you know, talking about Kyle Larson, but he got into him in the race with no intention of doing anything. But Kyle Busch was just simply frustrated about what's happening in turn one. I don't know. Well, if you go back and you look at the video, he did lay on this video game move, I thought, and that was he drove straight into the corner, and knowing that Kyle Busch was there on that outside part of him, Kyle Busch was going to go and try to defend and protect that part of the track to keep anybody from coming in. And Christopher Bell just comes down through there and just takes over and spins him around. At the end of the race, Kyle Busch's comments, he said, you know, all this time that we have, I drove under Joe Gibbs, you never spun me. You never wrecked me on purpose. And he said, did you ever wreck me on purpose? And Christopher Bell said, no. And he says, well, I'll just tell you, the crap is on. That's all he said to him. So you can understand that Kyle Busch, he's in a frustrating time right now in the season. They've looked good at times, and then they look just plumb, you know, dismal at times, just wondering if whether or not they're going to be able to pull off a win here. I'm just kind of waiting to see what exactly is happening. He has been so strong in a couple of races so far this season, but then just hasn't had the oomph to be able to get it and to get across the start finish line in a victory per se. And Chase Elliott's another one. Chase Elliott, didn't have a great day yesterday. Ran up in the top five, top 10 there for a little while, but a number of them got into trouble yesterday. Cheating is one way of putting it. They kind of cut the distance down between the S's or did not go and stay on the track fully like they should have. And, he was told over the radio, you're going to have to serve a pit road penalty, run down pit road, be at the 55 or the speed limit that they have you on pit road during all that time while this race is going on this road course. And Chase Elliott, who's usually very quiet when we see him in the media, and he talks very nice, low, very quiet spoken. He unleashes on NASCAR on the radio, and it's just full of F you's, F you NASCAR, F you for this and stuff. And I'm like, I kind of talked to Kim a little bit before I was getting ready to record this afternoon. And I told her, I said, I really don't want to use that word. I don't want to use the other part of it because, they say that lowers your IQ each time that you use it. Well, I'm right now at rock bottom. I've used it several times, I guess, growing up, but I don't want it to go any further. So I'm stopping there where I'm at. So
don't want to go in the negative, huh?
Okay. No, I don't want to go in the negatives.
Hey, Denny Hamlin, guy who won the race you were at last week in Bristol. He led three laps.
Yep.
He started eighth, but he finished 14th. What were some of his issues yesterday?
Well, I think a lot of it with the fact of he just couldn't get the car where he wanted it at. I think that was one big thing. He had a little bit of a run in too, if I'm not mistaken, I think with Bubba Wallace, I think they had a little bump here and there. The car just wasn't there for him. And I don't know if it's just something that he's at least having some kind of issue with right now about road courses. He didn't have good luck at Indy a couple of times when they had the road course there. But he's in a situation now, as my dog is barking in the background. He must be a Denny Hamlin fan.
The one.
Yeah, the one. Okay. But see as it goes on again. But anyway, he gets in the situation of where he could at least contend for the front, but he couldn't pull something off. And I just think the car just wasn't set up as what they needed to. Like I said, it's short track race, what it was supposed to be, a short track setup for a car. And that's what they brought with them to Austin, Texas. So you would have thought that he would have probably been, familiar with it, at least the setup of it. But it was different than what he was expecting.
You mentioned the bump in between Denny Hamlin and Bubba Wallace. Is there any heat there between those two? I mean, the interesting thing is Hamlin races for a different team, but he owns Bubba or co-owns Bubba Wallace's
team. Yeah. I don't know. There's just the thing right now of where there just seems to be, Bubba Wallace is not in a bad position right now. I mean, he's finished, top 20, top 15 in the last few races, even in the top 10, a couple of races. He finished top 15 yesterday in 15th place, but it's like he said, here I am, I'm stuck all the way in the back. He has to come from the back to get up to the front, which I think is a testament of him as a driver, being able to go through that field like he did and then be able to pull off a 15th place finish. It was not without him getting on and uttering the F word several times on the radio on Sunday, talking about the effing equipment, talking about the, expletive there, talking about somebody else's fault. It always happens to us. A lot of frustration yesterday, I think, with this first road race of the season. And I think there were some guys, Ross Chastain was probably another one that, some people thought probably Chastain was going to pull something off yesterday. And, you know, he just didn't have enough. He just didn't have enough there at the toward the very end. And that's kind of what we faced. And we were in stage racing. The first couple of times that we've raced at Circuit of the Americas, it's not been stage racing. It's just been a straight 68 laps, and that's what you did. But they broke yesterday in between that, and they split it up, which, by the way, if I'm hearing this correctly, all signs point to returning to COTA next year in 2025. So I think the fans love it. The drivers, much to their chagrin, they like it too, I guess, if you want to say it that way. And that's how it goes.
Shane Van Gisbergen, a guy we remember from last year, came out and surprised everybody with that win in Chicago. He was racing near the top a good bit of this race, but ended up finishing 20th.
Yeah.
So a guy that we're looking to come full-time on a series in the next, you know, well, next couple years maybe. How was his day yesterday?
Not good. It wasn't as good as wasn't as well as he expected. I think he probably expected a little more in the Xfinity race on the weekend. That's what he had been hoping for. It didn't end up happening that way. And then he turns around and gets as low as 37th at one point in this race. But he managed to fight his way back, you know, to that finish, that top 20, 20th place finish. But I think he's finding out a little bit. It's also what kind of car and what kind of stuff he has underneath. I thought Daniel Suarez would do well. Daniel Suarez didn't do as well as I thought yesterday. So right there, if the track house thing kind of bears with it, you had one that did well, and that was Ross Chastain, but then he kind of fell off as time went on. But, you know, Suarez did get back, and then Van Gisbergen, he did the same thing. He got back into it, but I'm kind of treating this, though, it's kind of that learning year. He got lucky. I think some of these guys at Chicago last year maybe thought, nah, he's not going to be with us or anything like that. But it opens up to Kami Kobayashi was there, too. Also, he was driving, and I'm not quite sure about his finish. I had it up here just a second ago, but I think I dropped the window down. But he had some trouble yesterday, too. There was some things, I think, with his engine obviously causing him some problem. But, you know, he's sold on NASCAR. He loves NASCAR. He wants NASCAR to go to Japan. He wants NASCAR to expand a little bit more. And he just thinks it's a great time, a big old time to race with the quote unquote good old boys when they're there, and he wants to race with them. And, you know, he's capable of it too. He's really capable. He had like I said, had an ill handling race car yesterday and still managed to, you know, finish the race, but he's getting experience. We'll probably see him at a couple more races. We may see him at Sonoma. We may see him at Watkins Glen again. Who knows how it's going to go?
Yeah, when I just brought the window back up, I thought he was around 30th. He was 29th. So
29th.
Yeah. That talks about his day. So, all right. So now let's look forward to, because I know in 2 weeks you're heading back to the track. You'll be in Martinsville.
Right.
But the NASCAR Cup Series returns to Virginia this week in Richmond. So that's right. A race I've covered once. I think I was 2016 when I was there for that race weekend. It's a track that's you know, well established on the NASCAR circuit, and what can we look forward to in Richmond this weekend?
I think Richmond's going to try to capture the magic that Bristol had here at one point. What was it, last year or year before or something, when they had the Easter race? You know, NASCAR doesn't normally race on Easter. That's always been the thing. NASCAR never raced on Easter. NASCAR never raced on Mother's Day or anything like that. But now all those trends have kind of gone out, and now it's like, let's race on Easter. Let's race and let's make it a primetime event. Let's put it at 7 o'clock. And that's what they're going to be doing. So it's going to be a primetime event on Fox. They're probably hoping for as good or better ratings this time around as what they had at the Bristol race just this past weekend or 2 weeks ago. And so we'll just have to wait and see. Richmond, very, very tight corners, very, very tight racing as they get down through there. You know, this is a track that's been redesigned, resurfaced in different at different times. But, you know, a lot of people love Richmond, just the way they call it short track racing, the way that it should be given, especially on a good old Saturday night. That's what they want this time around. It's just going to be on Sunday. So, you know, at this point, you got to say that at least there's probably some kind of, I guess, indicator right now that probably Byron might be at the top of this list if he is able to run as well as he did at this past weekend at COTA. But also take into consideration, he had trouble in the first few laps at Bristol. He broke a toe arm, you know, there on the car, and then his day was pretty much done at Bristol. So, he's got to have some good luck. He definitely has to have some good luck in this race. We're talking Kyle Busch too. Kyle Busch is probably, this is going to be, I think, the tail right here, whether or not how this season is going to go for him. If he pulls something out here and has at least a good top five finish, things could be good. Things could be good and looking up a little bit more for Richard Childress Racing. But right now, the way things are going, they just haven't found it yet. They have not found it. Austin Dillon is just kind of mired in the back. And then you've got Kyle Busch up ahead of him. And it's, you know, short. There's a lot of drivers that like short track racing. And we'll get to see them. Chris Buescher is one of them. Christopher Bell loves short track racing. He loves just that little short track environment. Kyle Larson, I don't know. Sometimes he likes them. Sometimes he doesn't. We'll just have to wait and see. But it's anybody's, I think it's anybody's race to win on Sunday at Richmond. So that'll be one that kind of surprises me. And by the way, you know, there was a big ado here last week about thinking, oh, all the fans were going crazy thinking Dale Jr. was going to be getting back in a car. Well, he is getting back in a car. He's going to race a couple of Xfinity events. One of them is going to be at Bristol coming up in September. He's going to race the Hellman Chevrolet is what he's going to do that he has, the Camaro. So they're going to be racing back at Bristol and I think racing a couple other places. But people were off the wall thinking he's coming back to race. I don't think he's coming back to race on a full-time schedule. I don't. There's just no way after the freedom he's had and now he's got this freedom. No, I don't see that happening, but I do see him. You know, I know this sounds crazy, but you're possibly looking at a future, oh gosh, president of not only his own race team, but who knows how NASCAR may go. NASCAR may go and reach in, pluck him up there and just say, hey, we need somebody that's got a visual presence, sort of like the guy in Formula One over in Europe. I mean, the guy, is it Eggleston? I think is what his name is. Right. But he's got a popularity over in, you know, in Europe that is just almost, that's rivaled by Lewis Hamilton and some of the other drivers that are in Formula One. When he speaks, it's almost like the old, Payne Weber or whatever commercials or whatever. When he speaks, everybody listens. And I think
E.F. Hutton.
That's it. Gosh, I'm really messed up here.
Saying that 40 some years ago. Yeah, okay.
I've been saying that effing word a little bit. All too those much. F word, I lowered my IQ. But I think that probably he could be in line for something like that. I think he would be a good ambassador for the sport. But you know, it's going to take some finagling and wrangling away from the France family if that's the case. But you know, I've seen stranger things happen. I just think he would be in a great position to, he's as outspoken as he's become here in the last little bit. I wouldn't see a problem with him going into that kind of management and kind of dictating the way things are. Because I mean, he spoke out. I think the line that I love the best was after Bristol last week and they asked him about the tire situation. And he said, everybody thought that when the tires started coming apart and everybody, he said, you know, racing, that's a part of it. But he said, you knew somebody was going to catch hell on the day and Goodyear was the one that was lined up. It was going to catch the hell. And he was right. He was right. There were a lot of people saying Goodyear should have came with a better tire, but at this point, we still don't know what caused those tires to get eaten up like that, except for, you know, just, I guess, armchair quarterback stuff and saying probably the resin had something to do with it, but we'll just have to wait and find out what the details are, what comes out in it from Goodyear.
A quick preview for our listeners and viewers out there. You'll be in Martinsville the weekend of April 2nd through 4th. What can we look forward to and what are you looking forward to from that weekend?
Well, for me, I'm looking forward to one. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm looking forward to having one of those world famous hot dogs from the infield. I don't know if you've heard about them or not, but they say they are incredible. They say you have to have one of those world famous hot dogs from the infield there at Martinsville. So now I'm willing to try that and see what happens. I think you're going to see a lot of close quarter racing, something that a short track is known for, but at Martinsville, it's more beating and banging. It's more flat. It's not anything having to do with banking like there is at Bristol. You've got a slight bit of banking, but nothing that is, you know, truly major out of it. But most of the time, it's a wear and tear on brakes. It's a wear and tear on the rotors. You know, there's been times that the brakes have gotten so hot on these cars that all of a sudden you hear a kapow go off and it's a brake pad or a rotor has busted. We'll just see how that goes. What was it, a couple of years ago, I think, or maybe about a year or two ago, the next generation car ended up, one of them caught on fire because of all the rubber being churned up, I think, also, and it kind of put some things back underneath the car, set the rubber on fire, I think, inside the car pretty close there. And I think Kevin Harvick, I'm thinking that was Martinsville, but I know that they had some trouble at Martinsville with the car itself. Hopefully they'll have those things kind of figured out, but this is going to be a great race, especially going into the 1st of April, because, you know, if it's Martinsville, we know by the time we at least get to the last part of April, we'll be looking at Talladega. And if you're liking short track racing, you're going to really see some big time racing when they get to Talladega, Alabama. So we've got the best of both worlds, short track, best in short track racing at Martinsville, and then also Super Speedway by the end of April.
No, do I have this right? I think you said, will be your first live race at Martinsville?
This will be my first live race. I used to, when I worked at, when I was teaching at Magna Vista High School, I lived in Collinsville for a short period of time. It's about the course of about 6 months, half a year. And, you know, occasion I would get out sometimes when I wasn't beat from the day at school and so forth, and having to deal with, now I'm going to be nice about it, deal with students. Mm-hmm. I would sometimes get the car and drive, and I drove up one time past the racetrack and I said, wow, the racetrack doesn't look as big as it does on television. I mean, seriously, that's the first thing that I thought of, because I'm used to seeing Bristol, and Bristol just goes up and up and up. You know, you're there, it's in a huge bowl is what it's like. I mean, there's a reason why they call it the Coliseum, the last great Coliseum. This is more, you know, flattened out a little bit more. And, you know, the press area, I know that one person told me, I think Anthony Vestal told me at Bristol Motor Speedways that, you know, they've got a media center, media up around the track up at the top, but then they also have a media center that, going to be interesting. They say it's very small. I don't know if that'll be where I'll be at or where I'll choose to stay at, but I'm looking forward to it. I've wanted to see a race there for a very long time. Had just been hoping for the right opportunity. And then this just dropped in our laps here a couple of weeks ago, the way that everything, you know, fell into place. And I'm just hoping that it's going to be a good adventure for me. It's going to be different for my son. He's going to be shooting some pictures for us and so forth. And, it's going to be an adventure for him. He'll see a lot more closer angles, I think, of cars coming at you, coming through the straightaways and into the turns, than he's used to. I think the only thing he's really seen has been the Coke 600. And then also the Roval race is what he has seen before. So that puts him in a little bit of a distance away. This is going to be set places, got to shoot within the screen. You can't go and put the camera outside of chicken wire fence, whatever it is and stuff. You've got to stay within your area. And once you're assigned there, that's where they expect you to be at. Do you have to go to where you're supposed to? Otherwise, you're out of the area and you could stand the chance of getting thrown out of there if not careful. So Martinsville's close quarters, but I, you know, that's racing the way it was back in what, 1949, 48, somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, I can't begin to imagine what it was like back in those days of having those huge cars, those tanks, like Hudson Hornets, you know, things like that on the track, that small, but I'm sure they beat and banged all afternoon and stuff, and the fans loved every minute of it.
Well, we're looking forward to you having that opportunity and then telling us all about it. But in the meantime, we got Richmond coming up this weekend. For our listeners and viewers out there, please keep up with us, and we'll keep you up to date on NASCAR. Hey, Rod, as always, thank you for your time and your insight.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Chris.